Hey, thank you guys for loving us so much over the years. Carly and I were married in 2005, and I said, I do probably, maybe right here, Carly?
What?
Yep. I said, I do probably about right here, maybe on the stage. Yeah, or maybe on the other side, I'm not sure. So I say this church, I don't mean the building, even though it's a beautiful building. We love the building. And we love all the fancy stuff you guys have in the back, which really helps with ministry online because we've been able to participate in some of that with you guys. You guys as a church, man, y'all have loved us so well. Thank you so much for doing that. So by trade, I'm a nurse practitioner now. I did all my training here in Britt. And we came to Britt, thought we may hang out in Britt for a while. It just, the Lord led us somewhere else. And so when we went to North Carolina, we had some other type of experiences, and just over the past 16 years cumulatively, we just can't get away from God's calling in our life. And we feel like this is it. Does it make sense? No. Does God calling make sense in our life a lot of times? No. By the world standards, they would say that guy's crazy or that girl's crazy. And so sometimes it just doesn't make sense. And sometimes people have asked me over the past couple of weeks, well, why are you doing what you do? It's like, I don't know. I'm afraid to say no. That's why. And so this morning we are going to talk about God's calling in our life. And so one additional thing about Noe, our calling, is that people are called to international missions or missions to go serve a place that can't pay you to be there. Basically, we serve people who make $3.90 a day, 54% of them. And so we have to raise our own support here in the States, basically, because they can't pay us to get there. And so we are transparent to a fault, okay? And so, if I didn't wear deodorant this morning, I'd probably get up here and accidentally tell you. See, she's making that face at me like, that was inappropriate. See, I did wear deodorant, so you guys don't worry about it. However, we do want to let you know where we stand. Okay, as far as what God's called us to and financially. So in my mission experiences, being in churches, I've heard all the time missionaries get up and say, you could sacrifice a Cracker Barrel, or what's the closest one here? Applebee's? What is it? Culver's? Okay, a Culver's meal a month to support a missionary family. But first off, we want you to know that God has called us as the church body to tithe in our local church. God gives us 100% and says, I love you so much, you live off 90% of that. That 10% needs to go to your local church. But we do want to talk to you about giving in your abundance. And so a full year, at the end of the year, I got a statement from PBS that said, thank you for giving $60 over this past year, $5 per month. I'm like, what? We gave $60 over last year, $5 a month, and I didn't even know it. And so what we want to ask you guys to consider doing is partnering with us on a monthly basis. One-time donations are awesome, and some of you guys have already blessed us so much with one-time support, which is awesome. And we're heading in the right direction for year one, but years 2 through 30, we don't have monthly contributions. And so right now we're about 30%. We have some. We have about 30% of our first year already given. And then we have about 3% for our monthly ongoing for years 2 through the rest of our lives. And so what we're asking you guys to consider financially is if you wanted to sponsor one of our children, or give $5, $10, $15 a month or something in your abundance where you can give for the rest of your life. That's what we want to ask you guys to consider. Not a $50, $100 unless you want to, of course. But just something you can give. And so you know God's doing a work because you're going to hear from us regularly through emails, maybe even some Zoom stuff, hopefully, with the services on Sunday mornings. We've partnered with some churches to do that. But you won't tell it in your pocketbook. And so that's where we are financially, and that's what we're asking you guys to consider. But on top of your tithe, because God's doing a great work through the ministry here in your church. And so I want to encourage you to do that as well. All right, enough of that. Okay, so let me tell you about a summer night in 1989. I was in West Lockton, Alabama, and this guy Chris comes driving up beside me. I'm in a parking lot of a service station. He says, "Hey, man, do you want to go see the Ghost of Tuscaloosa?" Now, I'm a scaredy cat. I have a twin sister. She always would lock the door at night because I was afraid to do so myself. And I said, all right, well, I'm not sure. It's getting a little late. He said, it won't take long. He was a couple of years older than me. I'm like, all right, I got to be back by 12. I think I can do it. So I hopped in his little bug, his beetle, and we take off to Tuscaloosa, Alabama to see this ghost. And so on the way there, he's a master storyteller, and he tells me just the story of this ghost and how it came to be, just like every other ghost story you guys have ever heard. Something about a mom and dad sliding off the road. It was slick, lost a child, something along those ways. But again, he was a master storyteller. I think Jesus was a master storyteller too. I'm sure he was. And so we get to this place in Tuscaloosa, and we get on this old pig trail. That's what we call in Alabama. It's just a one-lane trail. Turns off his lights, and we begin to drive down that road. And we get to the point, he says, well, I don't think we're going to see any ghosts because they've never been seen past this point. And I'm like, whew, man, this is good. We go around a curve, headlights pan from left to right, and all of a sudden there in front of us, probably 60 yards out, I kid you not, it's ghosts. Man, they're hanging out there. And exactly like his story told me, it's a husband and wife. It looks like the wife has a purse and looks like they're walking a dog. I'm like, he forgot to tell me about the dog. So I did the only thing I knew how to do. I just watched Home Alone not too much before that. I went, ah, and I'm screaming. I'm like, this is crazy. And I'm grabbing him. I'm like, let's go. Let's turn around. So he turns around and we go back to where we came from. And I'm thinking, I got to call my meemaw, my peepaw. Who is it that I've got to call and tell that I've just witnessed a ghost? And so Chris, he gets back to the main road and he says, there wasn't something right about that. Okay, in hindsight, that was not a very wise thing to say. I'm like, I don't even know what he means by that. Of course, it was ghosts. But he turns around and goes back. I'm like, dude, what are you doing? But he's a couple years older than me. I didn't want to look like a chicken. So we get back on the main road. We go back to that same curve, headlights pan from left to right. There they are again. This time about 40 yards out. I kid you not, ghosts. Oh, I'm screaming again. I'm like, this is crazy. We got to get out of here. And it looks like they're coming toward us. And so Chris Traylor, he turned off his headlights all the way. He looks over at me and he floors it, heads straight toward the ghost. And I'm screaming, Chris, stop. We get all the way up to the ghost. He flips on the lights and right there in front of me, I kid you not, are two light posts. I'm like, well, I saw she was carrying a purse, mailbox. She had a dog. Wait, no, it's a bush. I was so scared. I was debilitated to think straight. I wasn't able to think straight because of my fear. And so anytime that we are called to do things in our life, our initial response may be fear. And so for me, it was shaking, thinking who I'm going to call. I wasn't thinking straight, that sort of thing. But in regards to God's call in our life, okay, here are some ways that we can respond. Four different ways that we can respond. Number one is we can confront that fear and we can accept it. We say, okay, God, you've called me to something. I'm going to do it. Yes, sir. That's what we say. Number two, we can confront it or we can hear that calling in our life. And then we can just say, there's no way I'm going to do that. No way. Third thing we can do, third reaction, we can acknowledge that God is telling me to do something in my life and then just say, I'm just going to ignore it until it goes away. And then the fourth thing is that we don't even acknowledge that God has a calling in our life or that he has a purpose for our existence. And those are probably come from people who don't know Jesus. They've never received Jesus as their Savior in their life. 1 Corinthians 7:17 says this, only let each person lead the life that the Lord has assigned to him and to which God has called him. 1 Corinthians 7:17. Only let each person lead the life that the Lord has assigned to him and to which God has called him. So good news and bad news. All right, the good news is this. Everybody hold up your hand like this for me. Okay, just entertain me if you don't mind. All right, put it up like this. And everybody go, ring. Okay. Guess what? It's God calling. God calls you. At the time of salvation, the Holy Spirit comes into you and God says, I'm making you special because I'm giving you these gifts that I want you to use for me. And guess what? It's only given to you. Man, that is so awesome. It is so special. That's the good news. We are called. The bad news is this. He says, you can't be you any longer. And we're afraid of that. And we maybe even run for that for 16 years. And so we're going to look today at the calling of Elisha from Elijah. And we're going to kind of put it in perspective. So I do want us to know, though, going into the 3 points that we have this morning, that everybody's call is different. I have no idea what that is. And I thought, as I was putting this together, maybe I could make a list of like 10 different ideas. I'm like, oh man, the calling is so vast. There's no way to do that. And so maybe there's something in your life that you know that God has been calling you to for a very long time. Okay, number one, he's called us to do two things in our life. Number one is to be, and that's to be a lover of him, an intimate pursuer of him in our life. And that means we read his word, and we're involved in prayer, and we're involved in a church body. That's being a beer. And then there's also, he's called us to do. He's called us to be a senator. He's called us to do things in our life based on who we are as beers. Okay, so I don't know what those things are. So you guys just put that in the back of your mind right now and think, man, this is what he's talking about this morning. All right, so everybody open up your words this morning. We don't have the scripture up because I want us to open up our word or open up an app on your phone or whatever it is that you have. And we're going to read 1 Kings 19 through 21 this morning. 1 Kings 19 through 21. First Kings 19 through 21. Hey, see you guys. We love you. They told us earlier they'd be leaving early. They didn't hear me as they walked out. All right, if you guys have it, take your word for me and hold it out and say, word. And hold it up and say, word up. No, Mother's Day, you can say word to your mama. 1 Kings 19 through 21 says this, and this is from the NIV. So he departed from there and found Elisha. So Elijah departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, while he was plowing with 12 pairs of oxen before him. And he was with the 12th. And Elijah passed over to Elisha, and he threw his mantle on him, his cloak, and he left the oxen. So Elisha left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, please let me kiss my father and my mother, then I will follow you. And he said to him, go back, for what have I done to you? So he returned from following him and took the pair of oxen and sacrificed them and boiled their flesh with the implements of the oxen and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and he followed Elijah and ministered to him. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight. Lord, speak to us powerfully through your word this morning. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. First thing I want us to see this morning is that Elijah found Elisha in the midst of what he was already doing. And I would say most of the time, God speaks to us in the middle of what we're already involved in. Now, there are times where we go to have a mountaintop experience and God transforms us during that. But we need to always be ready to hear God's voice in the midst of what we're doing. For example, maybe you're at work and maybe God has been putting some coworkers on your heart for the last little bit and you haven't known what to do. Maybe it's a sort of Bible study or something like that. God calls us wherever we are. We don't have to go do something else, even though God has called us to leave and to move to Mexico and to sell all of our stuff. Sometimes, most of the time, God calls us right in the midst of where we are. But we need to be ready because God may call us out of those things. So how can we see God's calling in our life? Okay, it's like this. I worked with some middle school students. I was on staff at a church in Birmingham, Alabama for 5 years over recreation ministry. Took some teenage boys to go paintballing. And we get out there, and some of the guys had been before. I'd never been before. And they kind of showed me the ropes a little bit, but they explained the game. I'm like, oh, man, I'm 20-something years old. I have a little bit more wisdom than these guys. And there were some kids that were a little unruly. And I figured, I'm going to shoot them with a paintball and get them back. That was just kind of my mentality going in. So I figured when they blow the whistle, I'm going to run around to the backside of the arena, or actually it was a section of woods, and then I'm going to come in from the backside, and I'm going to show them who's boss. What kind of worked that way? Okay, the first time, they blew the whistle, went around the backside. I laid down, I saw some kids in front of me, laid down with a couple other guys that were with me, started shooting. Well, my gun went all squirrely, and I wasn't able to hit anybody. Well, this one guy, his name was Pip, he had his own gun. It was a very nice gun. And he started shooting at me, and I thought, man, those paintballs are going straight. They're not moving at all. And so I see one whiz by me, and it goes, shoo, as it goes by. I'm like, whoa, that is super fast. It's 300 feet per second. That's what it's supposed to be. And so I see the other one coming right at me, and I turn my head, and the only place on my face that wasn't guarded by a helmet was right here, and it hit me right here on the side of the head. And they train you, or they tell you at the beginning, if you get hit, make sure the paintball pops. If it does pop, you're out. If it doesn't pop, you're still in. I didn't care. Man, the pain was so enormous, so much, I was out, and I jumped up, and I'm yelling, I'm out, I'm out. And I'm walking off the course, and Pip, this kid with the good gun, he continues to shoot me. I'm like, Pip, you hit me with another one, I'm going to come over there and beat you to death with that gun. So he stopped. But I figured out, well, number one, I figured out later that his gun was shooting like 500 feet per second. We turned it down later on. But we had the next game was in a city, and I thought, I'm going to get Pip back. So they blew the whistle, and I ended up getting this barrel. I was in the city, and then some people were coming into the city. And I'm like, they're going to get really close. When they get close, I'm going to stick my gun out the barrel, and I'm going to shoot them. It happened that way. Okay, I got a couple of guys. They're really, really close. They had bruises to prove that I was the boss. However, ultimately, what they did is they gathered up all around the barrel, and they just waited me out. And so when I came out of the barrel, man, they peppered me. It was the worst move. Don't ever do that next time you guys go paintballing, because you can't just sit in a barrel. You can't just passively sit there and think everything's going to be okay. In regards to our calling in our life, it's the same way. We can't just sit back and say, everything's going to be okay. God desires us to actively pursue him in our life. And what I learned in paintball is that you shoot and you move. You shoot and you move. And you go from one thing to the next, one thing to the next. Not to be busy, just to be successful. And so in our calling, in God's calling in our life, man, we can't be passive. We have to understand that God is an active God, and we are called to actively pursue him in our life. That's through reading our Bible. That's through spending time in small groups, being active in ministries within the church. So Elijah actively pursued Elisha. To see God's calling in our life, we must be active in our pursuit of Jesus, just as he is active in his pursuit of us. Right now in this very room, the Holy Spirit is moving among us, is within us. Forgive me, it's within us. And God uses that to draw us to himself. Jesus actively pursues us through the work of the Holy Spirit. Everybody say, Jesus actively pursues me. So to see his calling, we must be active in our pursuit of Jesus, just as he is active in his pursuit of us. Second thing I want us to see, 1 Kings 19:19b, the second part of that passage. Elijah passed over to Elisha, and he threw his mantle on him. So when he did that, he was saying, all right, Elisha, you now have the responsibility. I'm passing on this responsibility to you. Another thing about this mantle or this cloak, 2 Kings 1:8, Ahab has asked some of his servants some stuff, and they said, we're not sure who that guy was, but he was a hairy man with a leather girdle bound to his loins. And King Ahab says, that's Elisha the Tishbite. He was recognized by the things that he wore. And so as believers, so within God's calling in our life, as believers, we have the responsibility to look and to live differently. And let me give you an example, a couple of examples of how that looks. I worked with a guy's name is George King Jr., and I ran a summer camp at a YMCA in Bessemer, Alabama for a summer. And this guy, man, There was just something different about him. He was a lover of Jesus. Probably the first person outside of my family, like a friend, who ever said, "Reggie, I love you." And when he told me, it was just a hard time in my life. And I broke when he told me he loved me. And I can remember seeing George King Jr. with another kid, Jonathan, who had he couldn't control some of his behaviors. And when Jonathan would do these specific things, George King would go up and would just wrap his arms around him and say, "I love you, Jonathan. I love you, Jonathan." He would take him to the ground, and he would just say, "I love you, Jonathan. I love you, Jonathan." And over time, Jonathan would calm down, and then he would be his same old Jonathan again. Man, he loved that kid. That stood out to me. It looked differently. How would other people do that in that program? They said, "You straighten yourself up, kid. I'm going to call your mama." But this guy loved him differently. And so my question is, do we love harder? When people see us, do they see us as different? Do they say, "Man, that guy loves. That girl loves"? Another time I was going to do an event, and I split my last pair of blue jeans when I was in my 20s, and I needed a pair of blue jeans. I had a Sears credit card at 26% interest. I'm like, "Okay, I'm going to get some jeans today." Let's go to Sears. I see this guy in Birmingham again. His name is Reggie Atkinson. And as soon as I go in, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, "He's going to buy your jeans." So I avoided him the whole time I was there. And so I walked past him. He saw me. He said, "Hey, what's up, Reg?" I said, "Hey, Reg." And so he was looking at some suits. I went and picked out a pair of jeans. And I was going up to the counter. And Reggie was up there. I'm like, "Man, I cannot go up to the counter. There's no way, because he's going to buy my jeans. I know he is." And but then I got antsy, and I loved Reggie anyway. He's just a great guy, taught me so much stuff. And I went up to the counter, and the cashier, she was ringing up all his stuff, and she said, "Is that it?" He said, "No, ma'am." And he reached over and he grabbed the jeans out of my hand, and I said, "Reggie, you don't have to buy my jeans." He said, "I know I don't." He said, "I'm doing it because I love you. My left hand doesn't know what my right hand is doing." And so I'm tearing up. I've got tears flowing down my face. He's got tears flowing down his face. I look over the cashier. She literally has tears flowing down her face. And why did that happen? Because, man, he was different. Man, he loved. He loved me in that moment. And so within God's calling in our life, he has called us to look different, look differently. I have a friend who's an attorney, and some things happened with an employee. And and he and I just spent some time together talking about how do we handle this situation. The world would say just fire someone, but ultimately we came to the consensus: maybe the person needs to be fired, but man, they need to be loved in the midst of it. And so that's the second thing within God's calling in our life, is that we have a responsibility to look and to live differently. All right, third thing I want us to see. This is verse 20b, the last part of 20b, also verse 21 says, Elisha says, "Please let me kiss my father and my mother, then I will follow you." And he said, "Go back, for what have I done to you?" So Elijah comes in and says, "Hey man, follow me. I'm going to go my way." And then Elisha says, "Hold on a second. Man, I realize this is such a huge calling. I may never see my parents again. Let me go back and just tell them goodbye." And Elijah says, "Oh yeah, what was I thinking? Yeah, head on back there. Go back, for what have I done to you?" So he returned from following Elijah, and he took the pair of oxen. So he was undoubtedly a farmer. Took the pair of oxen, and he sacrificed them, and he boiled their flesh in the implements of the oxen and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and followed Elijah and ministered to him. So the third thing, when we are called by God, number one, we accept it as a tremendous honor that it is. So whatever it is God may be calling you to in your life, he is calling you to be a beer, so be an intimate pursuer of Christ, but whatever he's calling you to do, consider it a tremendous honor in your life. And then in your joy, destroy everything that would allow you to return to the old person that you once were. We're called to burn any chance of our return. One more illustration for you. Have a nephew. His name's Colby, and I pride myself on being the crazy uncle to my twin sisters, four boys. And I would go up to their house about every day. This is in my early 20s, and just kind of hang out, stir them up, and then I'd leave. We'd wrestle all the time. They were a very rambunctious crew. And we had this thing where before I left, I'd always hit the side of the trailer, and they'd look over. They knew what was coming, and I'd give them one of these. And then they'd jump up. They could be watching TV, eating cereal, whatever. They'd jump up, and they'd give me one of these things back. And actually, they were all at, I shared this at the church a couple weekends ago, and they were all there, and they did it back to me from the stage. That was pretty fun. But I just enjoyed being that person. I was really close to them. They'd spend the night with me all the time. I was there when they accepted Jesus as their Savior, when they were baptized. I loved my nephews. Well, come to find out that my nephew and her and my nephews, my twin sister and her husband, they were called to move to another community. He was a football coach. And I heard about it, and I was emotional. I'm like, man, I'm not going to see my nephews anymore. I showed up late for the move day, and they were already half moved. I'm like, oh, this is not good, because I won't be seeing these guys too much longer after this. And so very slowly, I'm moving boxes from the house, and I'm taking it out, and I'm putting it in the truck. Finally, I get back to the house. I'm looking around. There are no other boxes except one in the back part of the house. I can see it from a distance. And I'm like, I don't want that box to move because these guys are going to be out of here in just a few minutes. And so I'm standing there. Somebody walks past me. They go get the box and go out. And Colby, it's my nephew, he's over at the kitchen sink. And I see him right over in this area. And I say, Colby, it looks like that's about it. Very distraught. He looks over and says, yep, it's nice knowing you. I thought, man, he doesn't love his crazy uncle. That's what I thought. And then I realized, no, that's not it at all. His daddy, Max, said, Colby, I'm going to take you to a place you've never been before. You're going to be among a group of people that you've never seen before. But I got it covered. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to provide for you. And Kobe said, yes, sir, whatever you say. I'm willing to let go of my crazy uncles because my daddy's got it covered. And so in the midst of our calling this morning, maybe we're hanging on to some crazy uncles. Maybe we're hanging on to our oxen. Maybe we're hanging on to the yokes. God's calling us to let go of those crazy uncles, to burn those things so that we can never return back to our old way of life. When we sang our song earlier, thank you guys for worshiping with us, by the way. And I hope it didn't come across as a show at all. We love just marinating. I love a good steak. And just seeing a steak marinate on a plate, that's the way I view myself when I'm just sitting before God. You know, I'm probably the scrawniest steak there, but man, I just love to marinate in Jesus. And just kind of take it in. And, you know, when God calls in our lives, a lot of times it's during the quiet time, not really during the storm, but it's when we take time and we just sit back and reflect and say, oh, yeah, this is it. And I said, and the thing that I shared this morning was, Jesus, you are the lover of my soul. And, man, I've just, over the last few weeks, I've just been reminded that over and over by the things that we've encountered in our life that's just confirmed his calling for us. And I just want to remind us this morning, we're going to do one more illustration with everybody involved here. I just want to remind us that you, me, we are loved by God. We are not here by chance. We're not here this morning by chance. God has a purpose for us. He has a purpose for you. He has a calling for you in your life to be a passionate, intimate pursuer of him, but also to do things with the gifts that he's given you. And man, I just want to encourage you guys to follow through with that. And as we go through this last illustration, just know that Jesus loves you. Know it, because he does. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Galatians 6:2 says, we are called to carry each other's burdens. And in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ.